The Old Testament lesson today on this last Sunday of Advent comes to us from the book of Micah, Micah the prophet. It's chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. It's a short passage from Micah. It's on page 658 and here. And now let us hear the word of the Lord. God says through the mouth of his prophet, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace." And here ends the lesson from the prophet. The lesson from the gospel today is Mary's song from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 55, and it's on page 724 and here. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And here ends the lesson from the gospel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, for Sunday of Advent, this time of preparation for the birth of Christ is almost over. Anticipation tomorrow evening finally turns to fulfillment. And this year, during these weeks of Advent, we've been talking about living in between. So living in the tension of already and not yet. Between anticipation and hope of the second coming, when all at the end of time will be put right. The whole trajectory of history is pointing to that time. Between preparation and the promise of peace, John the Baptist called for a time of preparation for Messiah, a time of repentance, but repentance tempered with the joy of turning away from sin, of turning towards God and living in righteousness. Today we're still in between, still in tension. Still in between loss and love. And today we get to talk about Mary. We know the backstory, how the angel Gabriel came to Mary and greeted her with the words, "Hail, highly favored one. The Son of God is to be born from you. And you will call him Jesus," which in Hebrew, Yeshua, means simply God saves. And the angel told Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you. And the child to be born will be the son of the Most High God." And as evidence, the angel offers the fact that Mary's elderly cousin, Elizabeth, who has been barren, who has been unable to have children for her whole married life, is with child and 6 months along in her pregnancy. And as evidence, then the angel says, "For nothing, Mary, is impossible with God." And then Mary says, and oddly enough, Jesus in the garden at the end of his life echoes Mary's words. Mary says to the angel, "Let it be to me according to your word." And then Mary hurries up in our story for today and goes from Nazareth in the north in Galilee down to her cousin Elizabeth in Ein Kerem, which is a small village 5 miles southwest of Jerusalem. So that's about 90 miles. And in those days, that would have been a treacherous journey for a young woman alone. We're not told. The Bible authors don't tell us how Mary accomplished that journey. But at any rate, she hurried and she visited Elizabeth. And when she got there, John the Baptist, who was Elizabeth's child, jumped for joy. And Elizabeth echoed her husband Zechariah's words, "Blessed are you. When I greeted you, when you greeted me, the baby in my womb jumped for joy." Look at this. It's a medieval icon. The babies are waving at each other. Isn't that cool? So John the Baptist in Elizabeth's belly is jumping for joy. And Elizabeth sings a song to Mary. And then Mary, in return, sings a song to Elizabeth. We call it the Magnificat because in Latin, the very first word is glory, right? I sing praises. Mary echoes the words of another barren woman from the history of Israel, Hannah. Mary's song that she sings is not a weak song. When Martin Luther, translated the Bible into German so the people could read it, he left these words, the Magnificat in Luke chapter 1, in Latin, because he was afraid that if he translated those words into German so the people could read them, the German rulers would see this as a revolutionary text. The same thing happened in India when the British colonial empire was conquering India. They didn't translate these words into the language of the people, because the powers that be were afraid of these words. God acts in history, Mary says, through individuals and through communities. And Mary's words make it clear that God acts on behalf of the poor and the hungry and the powerless. And Mary's words point out the contrast between the way the world is and the way God intends it to be. And God's action, Mary says, "The mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." God's action is fulfilled in Jesus. The promised fulfillment of all that long trajectory of history that goes back before the beginning of time is fulfilled in the coming one whose birth we celebrate tomorrow night. And Mary's song makes it clear that just as God was at work in her life, so God is at work in each of us, calling us to work and to walk alongside Jesus for God's coming kingdom. So I think there's three gifts of Mary's story. The first is that the knowledge that it's not really about us, it's about God. Micah's prophecy that the coming one will come and God will work in and through his people. We saw a great example of that this morning. God working in and through his children. God's promises are anchored in God's history, in our story. In Micah's time, the people were living in exile, and they knew tension and sorrow. But God promised that his solution has come and will come again. Mary and Elizabeth, together, show that God gives us the gift of community. God's promises are both heard in and need community. That's why worship is so important, whether we're worshiping 5 or 10 or 15 or 500 or 1500 of us. We need each other. Our call, our vocation as God's people is confirmed by each other, because we're called by Jesus Christ to work with him to bring healing up to the world. The ancient rabbis called it, said there's a crack in the world. And we are called to work with God to repair it. And finally, this story teaches us about the gift of love. The child that's coming, the child who will change everything, who will turn the world upside down. And our job is pretty simple. In the midst of loss, and all of us, no matter our situation in life, no matter what's happened to us this year, all of us, if we could take the time, could name some loss that we've experienced, whether a family member, a work situation, a dear friend, a terrible event that's happened. All of us, it's a human condition, can name loss. But the gift of love that we celebrate today is about the child who will change everything and turn the world upside down. And so we are only called to tell the story that in the tension of the world's sorrows and uncertainties and violence and war, the child who is coming will be the shepherd over his people Israel. As Micah says, this one will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. And that, my friends, is indeed good news. Amen. And let's pray. Holy and almighty God, we thank you for your Son who comes to us, who stirs us up to tell the story that he's coming now and again for us. We pray in his holy name. Amen.